Time now to bring in the big hitter from New York City. We're not talking about, Mr. Sanchez or any of the Yankees, even though he's a Yankee fan. And Sanchez, he had a bad year. I guess who should we put up as the big hitter from the Yankees? Stanton and what's his name? The tall guy. I forget his name. You?
I'm just waiting for you to get through the intro.
Oh, I'm kind of like you on Militant Vet. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring him in, Jim Lynch.
Good morning. I think you mean Derek Jeter. You want to bring him back?
No, he doesn't.
We're just having a martial moment here.
And it's so we those left showers. It's those showers. Those April showers are on its way.
I wish.
Yes. Good morning, Jill. Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning.
All you great listeners. Madam G, one of my great friends. I thank you all for listening to us. And I hope you're well and happy. Lots going on. Kind of going a little differently to begin with. For those of you who are invested in stock market or bond market or any market, we think we're probably going into a recession. And part of that is there's been, I think, a little loss of confidence here in this country in the economy. People are concerned. They didn't spend that much at the holidays. They didn't spend all that much in the first couple of months either. Secondly, the yield curve, the difference between bonds in 1 or 2 years and out in 10 years, has narrowed to 17 basis points. In other words, you only pick up a small amount of yield if you go to 10 years versus 2 years. Normally, an inverted yield curve, as it's called, indicates recession or slowing down, and that happened pretty consistently. It's a pretty good barometer. The other thing regarding the stock market particularly, we've had quite a run, and doesn't mean it can't go a little bit further, but, you know, you can get to the sky in the stock market, but it eventually comes off. And that plus the economy has been doing very well. There's very few jobs left to be filled. Wages have improved a little, but the economy is not robust enough to stick in the stock market with all your eggs. So whatever your risk tolerance is for stocks, I'd lower them and, you know, take some off the table, take the weak sisters off, really refine your portfolio in terms of understanding what you own and the future of it. Take counsel if you do have counsel. And or just common sense in terms of, I have a great profit and I've got some losses and some of these other things. Why don't I kind of even it out?
All right. So
that gets me to taxes. Taxes have been cut for, call it the top 5%, give or take. And that's improved the balance sheet of many people who make a lot of money, and also of some corporations for buying back stock. But it's not really filtering down to the middle class. And so stocks, be cautious. Bonds, I wouldn't buy anything longer than a couple of years where you can get about a 240 on two-year government paper. That said, along with the economy sliding, I think there's going to be some great concern as we go through the year about the huge federal deficit, which we are increasing rather than decreasing. Normally, when you have a good economy, that kind of comes down. But this administration decided to cut taxes rather than pay down debt. And we probably put on $1 trillion and $1.5 trillion more of debt thanks to this tax cut. This is very important. We're at about $23 trillion now. That's a lot of moolah. And investors worldwide, I think, are taking a second look in terms of bonds. Moody's, the big investment service that rates bonds, made quite a cautious comment on the U.S. government market, or the U.S. government per se and its financing, about a week or so ago. There could be a rate decrease in government bonds. It wouldn't really bode well. Also, along the lines of bonds, there's a lot of debt. We call it high-yield debt, lesser credits. It's coming due in the next months or a couple of years, and that could put some weight on the bond market.
All right. Now, I have one comment about all that you said so far. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Wilson, I tell him to sell!
From Trading Places.
Okay. You made my day. I'm going to hang up.
It's one of my
Aren't you marvelous?
It's one of my favorite
scenes. Those gremlins are really working today. I can see that.
It's one of my favorite scenes of all movie time. The end of Trading Places. Wonder where your brother just had a heart attack.
Now. Right. Get that defibrillator out.
All right. But anyways, yeah. No,
all right, now let's go. Okay, let's go to something else. Let's call it Trump TV. Jane Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, has a fantastic article in the New Yorker, March 11th copy. You can read it on the internet as well. And Ms. Mayer discusses and points out very, very... the relationship between the current president and Fox News and its president and some of its big entertainers, which Fox kind of is. The point is, it's worth a read because as much as we hate to say it, Fox held back some news that one of its writers are no longer there. One of its reporters had discovered and written up, and they wouldn't publish it. And that was about the Stormy Daniels payment from Trump to Cohn to Stormy Daniels. And that could have been out, we'll call it, about a couple of weeks before the election. And Rupert Murdoch, and I don't have proof of this, nor does Ms. Mayer. It's hearsay from the source who basically killed the reporter's story. He says he did it on his own, but some other people quote Rupert Murdoch as saying, "I want Trump to win." So you might want to put that in your tea kettle. And, you know, we've got enough obviously disturbing us. But it's very important to recognize that a major, and it is the major source of news, countless people, held back some very significant information. If I was a Fox listener and I was aware of this, and I would, I'd step back a little bit from being much of a believer in some of the stuff that's coming out of there. That said, we all know what's going on, or we don't know what's going on. The Mueller investigation proceeds. There'll be people testifying this week. There'll be, I don't know, I guess Manafort gets a sentence in one of the courts. A lot of stuff that's very uncertain. Flipping back to the economy for a minute, going worldwide, we are seeing a big slowdown in China, in its economy. Japan, Russia has already been in terrible shape. The EU, the European Union, is also suffering lack of earnings, revenues. So it certainly is a time to be cautious. I would say that the theme should be for those who need some help in terms of dealing with things, start reading more. There have been some articles, I think the British University, maybe Amsterdam, put out a study showing how reading on a consistent basis is very significant in terms of mental health. And that's reading anything of note, of substance. So I try at this trying time to, if you're not reading, get back into it. Select some stuff that really works for you and get on with it. We also are besieged on television with ads on exercising and so forth. The key to exercising is simply do it. And I think most importantly with exercise, the idea is to breathe, to rejuvenate the body. Anyhow, now that we've solved all those problems, what do you say, Marshall?
I say there's so many problems that have been solved and that can be solved. It's you know, I look at one. I'm going to say about the house, and it's funny. It's not funny. It's a true story. Before the house was so divided with the conservative caucuses, the Freedom Party, the progressives, the liberals, the centrists. There's so many lanes now in the House, whereas it used to be before, the House of Representatives had two lanes, and those lanes would merge to get things done. Now you have the problem with the Senate becoming a lot like the House, and with the budget deficit like it is, with the cuts proposed for Medicare, Medicaid, health care, and with the asking, I think, of it's $8 billion for the wall in the budget, I fear that nobody has learned a lesson from what just happened a month ago, and that we are going to have another government shutdown, and that means more work is not going to get done on any of these problems. And I lay the blame on everybody from the president right on down to the Senate and the House. Nancy Pelosi, who I'm not a huge fan of, did another, I think, smart thing by trying to just put a hold on this impeachment stuff and seeing if you can work on your Democratic agenda. I don't know whether that's going to work because things.
One of the things that in
such a state of flux.
Marshall and I were discussing. Well, I was mentioning it earlier. I'm not quite sure how Marshall feels about it, but you know, unfortunately, in the last 20, 30 years, we've particularly with the onslaught of social media, we've given everybody a small device and said that's okay. Your opinion is the valid one, and that does precisely nothing for consensus building. It also does precisely nothing for news gathering because most news organizations at this juncture are running off tweets from various individuals. And I'm sure you've noticed from watching a fair amount of television in your life, you know, the camera's on the person on the screen. You don't see the 55 people behind the scenes who make it possible for that person to be on the screen. So you've basically messed up people's minds, their ability to think critically, and then you say, hey, by the way, there's a huge problem. What I am fascinated by, and this is just broadly, because Marshall's point about actually solving problems is the point, you know, is really why we're here. There is limited focus on the devastating situation in Venezuela. There is a limited focus on, whoa, what happened in North Korea? What is anything? You know, so you're basically taking it, it's almost like working with a hypnotist when you're working with the media.
Well, but there's not even that, Joe and Jim. What we have here is the old movie line. What we have here is a failure to
communicate.
because. You take your international problems, not only Venezuela. Take a look at what's going on in Brazil. All of a sudden, a newly elected president is having his problems. So you've got Venezuela and Brazil. You have what's going on in France, in England, and with Brexit. All that, and then of course our trade deals with China, and all the sanctions. All that sits out there on the peripheral, all right? It's all extremely important. It's all going to affect what happens to our economy and the world economy and the world in general. And our Congress and Senate can't even get past. Here's when I'm amazed: when a bill is written, when the president submits a budget, lots of people are meant to put input into this, and some senators from the same party to try to you try to get a bill that's passable. The bill that is being presented, the spending bill, is going nowhere. It's dead on arrival. And when you have that, and you have all the other problems that are surrounding it, you just look at our government and you try to say, "Come on, let's get things done." The Senate and the House have got to get together, and they've got to get together quick. There's just so much piling up on the plate that's not getting done.
It's also not getting talked about, and that's really unfortunate. If you want an example of things not getting talked about, for a lesson for today, you can watch what's going on with the Brexit debate. Just for today, if you want an education on how things are covered and how it doesn't work and how you have absolutely no information, that would be a real good thing to watch and learn from. And then you can extrapolate from that and see, wow, even though I'm watching all these shows and doing all this and studying up, there's a bunch of stuff I'm not finding out. Because that's where people really need to sort of make some adjustments.
And Jim, have you moved past the point where the remarks, the media loves to cover remarks have we as a country been so softened by the tone out of the president that, you know what, we're so sick and tired of hearing these horrible statements, misogynist, sexist, racist statements, that releasing them on Tucker Carlson from the past and having the idiot judge, whatever her name is, you cover it once, but then move on. That there are other things. We know Tucker Carlson's I'm not going to say an idiot, but we know what he is, and we know what the Jeannie Pirro is. So report it once and then move on.
We have to destroy. I'm not talking about Tucker Carlson or Jeannie Pirro. I'm talking about the national news, the morning show. It's like it's whoever's being destroyed at the moment. It's great distraction, really not productive.
Jim, is someone coming from Wall Street like you do, looking at this mess in Washington, and knowing how it all affects the stock market and the economy, you must lie awake at night.
Yes. Luckily, I've always been pretty conservative, so I'm not that exposed, but nor my clients, but there's always exposure. But let's go back for a sec to your point, Jill, in terms of both of your points, I'm sorry, regarding the coverage. It is such a waste of time, this repetition. Unfortunately, what's going on is everybody's looking for an eyeball, a TV eyeball, or radio ear. Mm-hmm. The sensational piece of news, we've got to grab onto that because I know it's going to elicit listenership and so forth. We don't have in our media discernment, discipline, and if they're not going to give it to us at this moment. They're making a lot of money. I mean, Fox News is off the charts in terms of the amount of money it's making. All of them, actually, the Times, everybody's making a lot of money because people want information. And the point is, going back to my point on reading, there are many venues, reading-wise, that you can utilize to understand what's going on and to discipline yourself in terms of getting out of this mainstream hubbub of the latest scandal. I know it's difficult to just turn it off, but you really have to start doing that. For instance, with this Tucker Carlson situation, I think that's why you have a mute button. That's why you have just cancel the show or the radio. Just get rid of it. I know myself and certain people are speaking, interview or something, I just put it on mute and say, okay, keep my eye on the set, and the guy's gone, and okay. You got to discipline yourself. But one of the real keys in this troubling time is to know truly what is going on and decide for yourself, do I need this information? And this information is important, and act on it. Now, for instance, I'm cautioning. I'm not saying I'm 100% accurate on anything, but there are other voices, of course, thing. Therefore, that means act. If you're overinvested, get a little more underinvested. If you have long junk bonds, sell them. Go into short bonds. In other words, pay attention to information that is pertinent to you. These things that these people do, these crazy things on radio and television, to get these jobs that people give them, forget them. I mean, you got to prune what you are watching. And I mean that on everything. if there's a show about violence or murder or something else, get rid of it. Get out of this syndrome of, back to my thought about the media wanting eyeballs or ears to make money. Anytime somebody's going to make money, you have to step back and say, they're trying to make money, be it a drug commercial or whatever, and step away from it. You don't have to participate, but you do need discipline. I understand it's a very difficult time with all of this stuff swirling around, some of it very dangerous, but you have to do it. You have to keep your sanity.
All right, we have 30 seconds left for you to wrap it up.
Well, I've got my sanity back. Thanks to Marshall. All right. I love you all. God bless you. God bless the USA. Have a great week.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
That is Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.